Well, again, thank you for joining us this evening, and Merry Christmas Eve. At this time, we are going to walk through Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in today's passage, we're going to see two different stories, the shepherds and the angels in verses 8 through 15, followed by the shepherds and Jesus in verses 16 through 20, with the main point being the shepherds heard about, they met, and then they were changed by Jesus. And we're going to end our time by seeing how that same dynamic applies to our lives today. Now, because tonight is a family-friendly service with kids of all ages in the room, this is going to be more interactive than usual. So whether you're a child or an adult, I hope you're warmed up and ready to go. Pray with me, and then we're going to jump in. Now, Father, as we've heard this evening, what we're about to read is good news of great joy for all people, and that includes us today. And so please open up our hearts to receive what you desire to say to each and every one of us that is gathered here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I said that tonight was going to be highly interactive, and I meant it, right? So question number one, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? I have to know this question. If you think it is, raise your hand. Let's see what we have. I wouldn't say a third of the room, maybe 40%. If you don't think it's a Christmas movie, raise your hands. I think we're tied. Like, literally, I do maybe a little bit more than those who think yes. All right, that was just a warm-up. Question number two. This one is literally a free-for-all. Just shout it out. What is the best Christmas movie? Like, if I could only watch one movie, what should it be? Just shout them out. I heard Christmas Story, I heard Elf, I heard Home Alone, I think I heard that too. We watch Christmas Story tomorrow, that's what we do, just on repeat, so we're excited for that. Now, those are all really good answers, but do you know what all Christmas movies have in common? Well, what they do is they follow what's called a plot diagram, okay? All stories have this, okay? So they have the opening scene, right? This is how the story begins. There's an inciting incident, right? There's something that suddenly changes that scene. There's the rising action where suspense is building. There's the climax, right? We're all anticipating. We're on the edge of our seats. But then there's the falling action, right? This is when things begin to wind down. And then we have the resolution, right? This is how the story ends. And so the point is, all stories, that includes Christmas movies, have these six pieces. But what may surprise you is that we can also use this very same plot diagram when we read the Bible. You see, any passage in the Bible that's telling us a story, just like tonight's, it does follow this exact same pattern. And so if you remember, tonight we have one passage that can be broken up into two different stories. We got the shepherds and the angels, and then the shepherds and Jesus. And so we're going to start with that first story. Right, the shepherds and the angels. This is in Luke 2, verses 8 through 15. And what I want to do is walk through this together and see if we can figure out all the different plot pieces. Again, this is for adults and kids. Are y'all ready? All right, here we go. First, what would we say is the opening scene? Right? How does everything start? Yeah, verse 8. Right? Shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And so knowing that's the opening scene, what's the inciting incident, right? What suddenly happens that changes everything around the shepherds? That's right, the angel comes, but first it's just one angel. An angel appears to them in verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with what? Great fear. Pitch black dark, watching sheep. Suddenly an angel appears. I'd be terrified too, right? So then we know this is happening. What's the rising action? Where do we see the energy increasing or anticipation being built up? What the angel says. That's right, verses 10 through 12. But look at this. Every time he talks, the more and more that he talks, it gets more and more important. I mean, look at this text. Good news improves to great joy. And then what is this great joy for? All people. And the reason this matters is because the first people to hear about this news are shepherds. And in that day, they were the lowliest of lowliest. They were outcasts. Nobody wanted to be around them. They were weird. They were smelly. They were stinky. So the angel means it when he says this is for all people. Then he says, for unto you is born this day. So now we have the exciting news of a baby. But look at what he says next. He calls this baby a savior, right? And a savior is someone who saves. And in that day, the shepherds and the rest of Israel were waiting for a savior, one who knew they knew would come to save the people from their sins. I mean, this announcement is a big, big deal. But the angel's not done. We see that he also calls this baby Christ and Lord. Now, Christ literally translates to anointing one. What that means is that this child has a purpose, right? He was anointed for a specific task, which we just learned was saving people from their sins. And then that last title, Lord, means that this baby who's lying in a manger is also king. He's ruling and reigning over all people and all things. These are all really big deals. But then look at how the angel ends his announcement. He says, you will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. More than just telling news, the angel is telling these shepherds how they can find this Savior. Right? That's a very big deal. This is very exciting. The point is, the energy is rising. Anticipation is building up with every word that the angel speaks. All right, so knowing that's the rising action, what would we say is the climax of this first story, the biggest or the highest moment in the text? Well, I would say it's when all the angels come next, right? One angel comes, but then suddenly verse 13 says there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. I mean, all of heaven is rejoicing over this good news. But then, as we know, falling action comes next. What do we think that is? Literally going verse by verse, right? Verse 15 tells us that the angels went away from them, like kind of a downer, right? They went away from them and went back up into heaven. And then, knowing that this is how all stories end, what would we say is the resolution? What is the new scene? At verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, let us go, right? Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. How lucky are we? Right? The point of this is that the shepherds went from watching their flock to hearing about Jesus, and then they decided to go check it out for themselves. The shepherds were changed by this good news. Okay, pin that, and now let's go to the second story. If you remember, this is the shepherds and Jesus. It takes place in verses 16 through 20. We're going to do the exact same thing, okay? That first story was just a warm-up. Now you know where we are and where we're going. And so what's the opening scene? How does everything start? Yeah, the shepherds are making their way with haste. They are going to Bethlehem. If we came back from commercial break, this is what we sing. They are hustling over to Bethlehem. What's the inciting incident? What stops them from traveling? They arrive. That's right. It says that they found Mary and Joseph. But look at this. They also found the baby lying in a manger, just like the angels told them. All right, now what would we think is the rising action? This one's a little bit longer. What would we say the rising action is? Verses 17 through 19. Okay, when the shepherds saw this, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, I got a question for you. What would happen if you had an encounter with an angel and then you tried to tell others about it? All right, you wouldn't be able to talk. Like, you couldn't contain your excitement. You'd be stumbling over your words. You'd be getting more and more excited. And that's exactly what happens here. Right? The shepherds are sharing this news. They are amazed. But Luke tells us that so are the others. Right? All who heard this, they wondered, what is going on? And he says that Mary pondered them in her heart. All right, we know what's next. What's the climax? Like, what's the climax of this story? You see, I thought that too, but I'm not sure that Luke actually tells us the climax. Because if we're walking through this text, the next verse that comes is verse 20. But I'm not sure it's a climax. I would say it's falling action. Because if you look at it, it says, the shepherds returned. That's it. That's all that happens next. They see this thing, they share this news, and then they leave Mary and Joseph, and they go back to their sheep. I would say that's pretty anticlimactic. And so if that's the case, what's then the resolution? Again, we're just walking through the passage. What's the final or the new scene? You guys kind of ended with that. Yeah, the shepherds leave glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. That's the new scene. They're changed. They're worshiping, glorifying God. Okay, so put these two pieces together, all right? In the first story, we learned that the shepherds heard about Jesus. And then in the second story, we see them praising God. That's how it ends. But why? Like, what would have caused this change that we see from the shepherds at the beginning in verse 18 all the way to the end of verse 20? Exactly. You see, this all seems to hinge on an unspoken climax of the second story, if you think about it, which has to be what? The shepherds met Jesus for themselves. Okay, it was different hearing about Jesus. It's different even seeing Jesus, but they are experiencing him. They are meeting him. This is the one who the angel called Savior, Christ, and Lord. You see, the reason that I wanted us to go through these two exercises is that all the other context of the story, all the other things that we talk about or paint in pictures or put in nativity scenes, it's really nice. It's really nice to learn, and it's even helpful. But when we focus on those things, we run the risk of missing the main point that is communicated in the passage. And in this case, the shepherds heard about Jesus, they met Jesus, and then they were changed by Jesus. And this timeless reality for the shepherds, friends, it still applies to our lives today. You've heard about Jesus. You've met with Jesus. The question is, will you be changed by Jesus? You see, each and every one of us have heard about Jesus in some shape or form. That's why you're here. Someone either told you, they invited you, or you've read, and so you've come. Throughout tonight's service, and even right now as I speak, you are meeting with Jesus. Some of us perhaps for the first time. But the timeless and the most important question is, will you be changed by Jesus? If you're here this evening and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian, I want you to know that we are so glad that you're here. Now, we say that each and every week. We truly mean that, and we hope that you come back either this Sunday or next year into January. But I also want you to know that the stories that we read today are just the beginning when it comes to the gospel. All right, Jesus of Nazareth, who the angel calls Savior and Christ and Lord, he was born in a cradle, died on a cross, but then rose again as King. God himself, the eternal God of the universe, put on human flesh and he became a man. He lived the sinless life that we could not. He died the sinner's death that we deserve, but friends, 3 days later, he resurrected so that all who believe in him are forgiven of their sins and receive everlasting life. This is good news. This is what the angel is talking about. Good news of great joy for all people, including you right now. The only question is, how will you respond? Right? Neutrality, passivity, indifference, or leaving here in the same way that you came in can't be options. We're talking about things like the forgiveness of sins and resurrection and eternal life. I want to invite you this evening to receive Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection on your behalf and to trust in him as your Lord and Savior. And if tonight is that night for you, or if you have any questions about what you've heard today, I'd love to talk with you after service. And for the followers of Christ, the reality as we read this text and think about our lives today is that you can spend your whole life hearing about Jesus, You can spend your whole life meeting with Jesus, but the question is, are you actually being changed by Jesus? More than just past tense, like how Jesus changed you at the moment of salvation, I'm asking, how is Jesus changing you now? Like in this present tense, we just said that neutrality and passivity and indifference can't be options when we encounter Jesus, but that also applies to the ongoing Christian walk every day until Jesus returns or he calls us home. And so how is the Holy Spirit changing you? How, by his power, is he changing you to become more and more like Jesus each and every day? And how is that tangibly affecting the way that you work, live, and play? Friends, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He lived the perfect, sinless life that you could not, and he bore the death that you were due. But friends, 3 days later, he rose again. It's an historical fact. And in doing so, he conquered Satan and sin and death once and for all for the Father's glory and for your eternal salvation. He's currently alive and well. He's seated on the throne of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and one day he will return to make all things right and all things new. You've heard about Jesus. You're meeting with Jesus. The question is, will you be changed by Jesus? Let's pray. Jesus, this evening, we thank you for coming into this world to save us from our sins. All the gifts that we're going to open tomorrow, they pale in comparison to what you have gifted us. Holy Spirit, at this point, we've heard about Jesus. We have met with Jesus. We now ask that you would change us to become more like Jesus. Please do the miracle that only you can do. And Father, I pray that this evening would be a time of salvation. Jesus has done all of the work to forgive us of our sins and grant us everlasting life. I pray that just like the shepherds, our hearts would be open to receive this good news and to be changed by this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.